The book of Job, we understand, is the oldest book in the Bible. It was the first written. Job is supposed to have written the book of Job even before Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And over the 14th chapter of Job's book, in the 14th verse, way back when, he asked a question, a very important question. If a man die, shall he live again? If a man die, shall he live again? Is there life after death? He says, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Paul said that if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. This life only. Think about it. It's been rough. All of us have seen some hard times. What if this life were all there is? And after we died, that's the end. There's no hereafter. It is as though we never existed. Isn't that a dismal thought? What a miserable life this would be if there were no hope of life after death. Now that question that Job asked so many years ago, if a man die, shall he live again, is answered by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 26, verse 19, in which he says, thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body, he's talking about death, dead body, the dead men shall live. With my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. This answer is echoed by Daniel in chapter 12 and verse 2, when God revealed to him, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. All this was confirmed by our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He said in John 5:25, the hour is coming when the dead, those that are sleeping yonder in the cemetery, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live. That's what Jesus said. He said in John 14:19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And again in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. In Paul's defense before Governor Felix at Caesarea, he stated, it's recorded in Acts 24, verse 15, Listen at this. There shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And in 1 Corinthians 6:14, he wrote, God hath raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. It's a sad day when we follow the hearse from the church or from the funeral parlor to the cemetery, and we see the remains of our loved ones placed in a casket, buried in a hole in the ground 6 feet deep, and covered over. But it will be a glad day when at the sound of the trumpet that body is raised from the dead to be fashioned in the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ to be alive forevermore. Hope. Hope in the resurrection of the body has sustained the saints of God down through the ages. Also included in this hope of resurrection is the hope of recognition. Will we know each other in heaven? You've heard people ask that question. I would hate to go to a place where I didn't know a soul. Can you imagine going to heaven and not knowing anybody? I think we're going to know each other in heaven. And this leads to the hope of reunion, when we'll be reunited with all of our loved ones and friends that have gone on before. Some years ago, I made a trip back to Texas to visit my four brothers. And while I was there, my brother Bill and I drove out to Comanche County in West Texas, where our grandfather Wetzel had moved to from Georgia back in 1872. We visited the little cemetery across the road from Board Baptist Church that had been started by my grandfather's father-in-law. And in that little cemetery, about half of the residents there were our relatives on our grandfather's side of the family. Most of them, they were just names to us. We never knew them. We just heard of them. Then we drove a few miles from there, from Board Church, over to the Shiloh Baptist Church. And probably 100 years ago, that little Shiloh Baptist Church, which is made out of the native rock, it was stone. You know, that lasts a long time. That church had been deserted for years and years and years, and the wild animals and the cattle and everything else have gotten into it. There was no glass in the windows, and the inside of it was just a mess. The doors were off the hinges. And across the road from that little church, sitting there on the edge of the prairie, pastures full of grass and mesquite brush, I remember we counted about a dozen deer that were grazing around there. Some of them were standing in the shade of the oak trees. But we visited that old cemetery across the road from the church in a fenced-in area. There we read the names of relatives on our grandmother's side of the family, the Sligers, dating back to the time of the Civil War. Their bodies long since gone back to the dust. But it seemed that in our hearts we embraced the expectation that one day we would see them. Reunion will be one of the joys of heaven. Later on, we went to another cemetery, this one down in East Texas. Little community known as Pittsburgh, not quite as big as the one in Pennsylvania. Down in Upshur County, many of our mother's family, that's the Blundells, were buried there, including our maternal grandparents. Then we visited there in a little cemetery in Grand Prairie, Texas, where we laid my dad to rest in 1979. And then in 1994, when my mother passed on, we buried her right beside him. And at each of these hallowed places, there stirred within our hearts the hope of resurrection and reunion. And I believe in my heart of hearts that I'll see my dad and mother again. You say, well, preacher, how can you believe such a thing? Because the Holy Spirit of God within me causes me to accept God's promise.
Amen. Yes.
I cannot conceive in my mind that Jesus would deliberately mislead us on such an important issue as this. Surely there will be a resurrection of the saints. Now this Bible is the only book in this whole wide world that tells us with authority about the future. And here's what it says will happen. And I want to give you three scriptures tonight that are sure. The Word of God is steadfast. The first one is 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 51 through 53. 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. What is that mystery? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now think what he's telling us here. He's telling us that not everybody will physically die. He's telling us that all of those who are living in mortal bodies at the time of the rapture will not die. They'll be changed. At the same time that the dead are raised, the living shall be changed. And those believers who are now dead, he says their bodies will be raised incorruptible. And those living mortals shall put on immortality. We'll receive new eternal bodies. A second scripture is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 13 through 17. Listen to this. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For, listen to this qualification, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, doesn't say that if we join the church, or if we get baptized, or if we tithe, or if we do good works. He says, if we believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross of Calvary and was buried and rose from the dead. If we believe that, what happens? Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. And that word prevent means that we will not precede them or go before them. For the Lord himself, listen to this, the Lord himself, he's not sending Gabriel, he's not sending Michael, he's not sending any other angels. He is coming again. Remember the two men in Acts chapter 1, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And what happens? And the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's before the living are changed. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, what do we learn from this? That those who are dead in Christ are said to be asleep in Jesus. I like that word sleep. That's a lot better than dead. Asleep presupposes rest. Sleep prepares us for the morrow. Sleep can be, you can be aroused out of sleep. I like that word. By the way, that's not soul sleep either that he's talking about here. And I want to emphasize this again. A belief in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely necessary. There will not be a soul in heaven who does not believe that Jesus died and rose again. That's the qualification for going to heaven. Now, those who are asleep in Jesus will be what? Brought back to the earth with him. brought back. That means that they're with him now. They're with him now. And the coming of Christ will be announced with a shout, number one, with the voice of the archangel, number two, and with the trump of God, number three. And the dead who are sleeping in the dust, their bodies have gone back to the dust from which they came, will hear his voice and will come forth from the graves. And they'll rise first before the living are changed. And then the living and the raised, resurrected dead together shall rise to meet the Lord in the clouds of the air. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Now for the living, that's what we call the rapture. The word rapture is not found in your Bible, so don't go to the concordance and start looking for it. It's not there. For the dead, this is the first resurrection. And the first resurrection is mentioned in the Bible, by the way. Let me emphasize again that we will meet the Lord in the air. This is not the time when Jesus returns to the earth. This is not the time when his feet stand on the Mount of Olives, which is on the midst, on the east of Jerusalem, and it cleaves in the midst and bust open and such as that. He comes in the air, and we, the living and the saved dead who are resurrected, will go up together to meet him in the air. And from there, wherever he is, there we will be also. Now that is not the beginning of the millennium, but it's the beginning of what is called the 7-year tribulation period on earth. And we'll always be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That means no separation. Where he is, there we are also. One more verse. Revelation chapter 20, verses 5 and 6. Now, when the first resurrection takes place, and only those who are saved, the children of God who have been born again, are taken out of the graves at the first resurrection. I hate to use this figure, but let's say there's a husband and wife who are lying side by side out here in Glen Abbey Cemetery. And it may be like, well, at the present time, my wife and I have a plot out there. I bought it years ago. Didn't have to. I ought to sell it because the military would bury me free. But we have, and you know, all the time that I've had it, I've never been out there to visit it. Here last year, I drove by the area where I think it is. But I've never gone out there and looked at it. I wonder why that is. Is it something psychological up here that I don't want to go out there and look at that piece of ground? I don't know. But I've got a description of it and the location on the paper. And I may never see it. I may never see it. It all depends on whether I get out there or not. But anyway, we've got, we were cheapskates. We just bought one place, one burying place, with the stipulation that when we die, we will both be buried in the same grave. Two caskets, one here and the other one on top of it. And the one of us that dies first gets the bottom. That's the way they do it. And then the second one that dies later, they set it on top of the first one. Of all of those graves out there, at the first resurrection, only the saved are coming out of the ground. All of the unsaved, those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who never accepted Christ as their personal Savior, their graves are going to be undisturbed. Here in Revelation 20, verse 5 says, but the rest of the dead, that's the ones that are really dead. That's the ones who are not resurrected at the first resurrection. The rest of the dead lived not again.
Those are the ones that's in hell.
That's right. Until the 1,000 years were finished. They've got to lay there for another 1,000 years before they come up out of the ground. But they will be raised. They will be raised. He says, this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. Second death. Well, there's more than one death. Before we got saved, we were spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins. And we were born again through faith in Jesus Christ. And we came alive. At the first resurrection, those born again ones are going to come out of the grave. And 1,000 years later, those who never believed in Jesus, never believed in God, they died without God, without faith, without hope. Their bodies are still in the grave. They've been there 1,000 years longer than anybody else. And they're going to be raised only to die again. And you think the first death is bad, that second one is a booger. He said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now that's the ones that take part in the first resurrection. But notice this, the rest of the dead are the unbelievers, those who died unsaved without Christ. Their dead bodies remain in the grave until the time of the great white throne judgment of God at the end of the millennium that's described in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 13. Now the 1,000 years is the millennium. A 10-year period is spoken of as a decade. 20 years are a score. Remember Abraham Lincoln's address? A score is 20. A millennium is 1,000. We call it the millennium. And during that time, Christ will rule on the earth. And what did he say? That we shall rule and reign with him. And during this time, the dead unbelievers still remain undisturbed in their graves insofar as their bodies are concerned. Where are their souls? They're in hell. Still in hell, where they've been since the time they died. In that place of torment described over in Luke. Now the believers who are raised in the first resurrection here are called blessed and holy. And the second death has no power over those believers who are raised in the first resurrection. No power. Now that second death is identified there in Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. He says this is the second death. And he defines it. It's when those eternal, immortal, lost souls of those unbelievers who have died without God and without Christ, whose names were not found written in the book of life, they're cast into the lake of fire when death and hell have emptied themselves into that into that lake of fire and brimstone, the eternal place of everlasting torment, where the soul never ceases to exist, where the devil is, where the Antichrist is, where the false prophet is, and shall be forevermore for all eternity. The second death. Now let me close with this. During the 1,000-year millennium, the saved, those who have been raptured out, those who have been in the first resurrection, they're now glorified saints of God. They will serve as reigning priests with Christ. We read it there in Revelation 20, verse 6. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Reigning priests. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Number 3. Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10. Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now there's 3 times that he tells us, just plain as the nose on your face, that we're going to be kings and priests, and we shall rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years on this earth. Now that's what God has promised us. And I don't think he's going to break his promise. God has a lot in store for us, and the best is yet to come. Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Appreciate you being here tonight. Appreciate the attention you gave to the message. I hope that the word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, will go right into our souls, and we can hide these precious truths in there and think about them and mull them over and rejoice in them, and it'll give us strength whenever we're weak. It'll give us courage when we fear. Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory?